club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier.
You cannot be serious.
I'm going to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation to this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, the Barty party is over, MG. The world number one, Ash Barty, has crashed out of the Australian Open.
Yeah, somewhat controversially. We'll get to that in a minute. But, Ash, she was always refreshingly honest in her appraisal of the match. And we'll go through a couple of sound bites after the break. It's disappointing because she was a real red-hot chance to win the Australian Open this year. And she might not get another one.
Yeah, absolutely right. We are going to get to that very shortly. We're also going to be joined by the reigning Dally M medalist, Jack Whiten, who is in camp with the Indigenous All-Stars team up in Townsville ahead of Saturday night's game. Looking forward to talking to Jack.
Yeah, so am I, and I'm looking forward to seeing this game. Obviously, a little bit depleted, the Maori boys, after the Storm players couldn't make their way up to Townsville, but they'll still be strong.
And MG, this is what everyone's been waiting for. As much as they love hearing us talk about rugby league and other sports, today is your first opportunity to join us at our golf day.
Yes, Liverpool Golf Club, 5th of March. Make sure you scratch that out before you ring up, because you must be able to get there.
Yeah, if you win, you're going to want to be able to come along. We'll give you your cue to call. Make sure you're listening out for that. But up next, we've got to talk tennis. The Barty party's over. Is there any point in keeping watching?
Oh, yeah, tonight's a good game. I think Rafa's on tonight.
Actually, Dylan Alcott's going for his 7th Australian Open tonight.
There's a lot of reasons to still watch it. And the crowds will be back this week, so maybe tomorrow.
All right, maybe we'll keep watching the tennis. We've got to talk about Ash Barty and her disappointing loss very shortly. It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. Your chance to join us at Liverpool Golf Club for our golf day coming up on the show tonight. But MG, we need to do this.
Trending now.
Ash Barty was shockingly knocked out of the Australian Open today, losing her quarterfinal against Karolina Muchova of the Czech Republic. She won the first set comfortably. She was cruising.
6-2, and then 2-0. Was up, and then the
with a break.
Then the controversy started.
Now, for those that didn't see it, Muchova called for a medical timeout. She had the trainers come out on court. She then went into the rooms for 10 minutes, and when
that
she
seemed came, to be the, that seemed to be the nucleus of the capitulation.
Well, do you watch the game, MG?
Yes.
When Muchova came back out from the medical timeout, it was a complete reversal of fortunes.
Oh, it was. It was like two different games.
So at that point, Muchova then took the second set comfortably, and Ash Barty just never recovered, never got her momentum back. Now, Jim Courier, after the match on-court interview, spoke to Muchova about the medical timeout.
In that medical timeout, we know that in the tournament prior to this, you actually weren't able to play a match. You had to default, I believe, an abdominal injury. Was that what you were treated on off the court?
No. It was more they just checked my pressure, and because I was, as I said, a bit lost, you know.
Okay.
I was spinning, so they cooled me down a bit with ice, and it helped me.
Yeah, refreshingly honest from Muchova, and it's a rule. It's legal. That's the thing. And I think, obviously, it's a rule that has to be thoroughly looked at, I suppose, and not just because it happened to Ash, but as I said on this show many a time, I'm yet to see a player who is leading in a tennis match either retire or have a medical break.
It's a good point.
And I don't know. Look, most sports these days, especially the long-distance sports, have a timeout or a break. I don't know why tennis don't do the same. I suppose it's less... then at least your opponent is prepared for you to have that. You're signaling, you're having a timeout. I'm going to get at least. I think it really caught Ash by surprise when she kind of just went off for 10 minutes. But as Ash said, and we'll listen to what she said in a sec. Again, she was so refreshingly honest as well. And you just can't help but love Ash Barty.
The question was put to her in the post-match press conference.
Does that frustrate you that she took that time out because her head was spinning and she lost her way?
It's within the rules. She's within her rights to take that time. And if she wasn't within the rules, the physios and the doctors would have said so. So I think that's the laws of our game, is that we have those medical timeouts for cases that are needed. I've played a lot of matches where there have been medical timeouts. I've taken medical timeouts myself before, so that shouldn't be a massive turning point in the match. I was disappointed today that I let that become a turning point.
Classy.
Yeah, very classy in her summation. And after Ash says that, like, I know social media went off today.
Yeah.
You know, saying this and that about tennis. And but I think after Ash Barty's come out and said that, and she also said that, you know, she shouldn't have capitulated. You know, it shouldn't have been a massive turning point in the match, was her words. And I think once she says that, we should all just get on with life. It's really, Jesus, a lot of people love being outraged. It's outrageous, the outrage that happens after something happens. And everyone gets on Twitter and they make their stance. They go, quick, I want to say this on Twitter before anyone else says it. And you know what? Just let it fall and let's listen to the players like we have. Mahova was honest with her. I love what she said to Courier. No, it wasn't the abdomen. It was, my head was spinning. It's hot down here in Melbourne. I'm not used to the heat. Mm. I went off for a break. You're allowed to do it. It's legal. And did Ash, you know, was she kind of not the same player when she came back on? No, she wasn't.
I'm surprised. I was watching at the time, and I saw Ash sitting in her chair, and then I saw her standing at the back of the court. I'm surprised she wasn't hitting serves.
Or doing something,
because she was serving at the time, and then when Mahova came back out, her serve went down the toilet, frankly.
Yeah, it did. Mm. Yeah, no, it was just kind of one of them things with the expectation on her shoulders, I think, got the better of her.
Mm. Well, look, the semi-finals are set now on both the men's and women's side, and whilst there's no Aussies left, can I recommend that all Rush Hour family get behind this man, Russian Aslan Karatsev. For his tennis, sure, but also for the way he handles this post-match press conference the other day.
I think it was after the second set you left the court to go change whatever it was. Did you give yourself a little pep talk or anything to try to motivate yourself? Because it seemed like after that you were bringing more energy and that sort of thing.
I just went for toilet.
I just went for toilet.
He takes on Novak Djokovic tomorrow, tonight. Rafa Nadal versus Stefanos Tsitsipas. There's still plenty of stars at the Australian Open. Rush Hour with MG and Liam. Triple M, Jack Whiten joins us next.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. Saturday night, MG, footy's back. It's felt like an eternity. Eternity.
Yeah, well, you know what? It has been an eternity. It feels like it has because it's been such a long summer of cricket. But
yeah,
now,
yes.
But now the Vaseline's on the legs, and now the pain away is on our joints, and now we're ready to rumble.
You can smell it. The All-Star Game this Saturday night in Townsville. We are calling it. You can hear it right here on Triple M from 8 o'clock. But this man will be in Townsville, running out there for the NRL Indigenous All-Star Team. He is the reigning Dally M medalist from the Canberra Raiders, Jack Whiten. G'day, Jack.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, any time, mate. Thanks for your time. We know you boys are busy up there. When did you guys arrive in Townsville, Jackie boy?
We got in, Monday night. Had a day travelling Monday, and yeah, so it was good to get in and see all the boys.
How does someone like you, Jack, reflect on such a season you had last year? You're dominant for your club side. You've obviously worked on your kicking game, which was unbelievably profound for the Raiders, and then You cap it off with the Dally M Player of the Year. When do you reflect on what a such a season you had?
I think I've done a bit of a reflecting over the off season, mate, and that's where I'm going to leave it now. You know, it means nothing if you don't back it up, as you know, as a footballer. So now I'm just looking forward to round one and with the Raiders boys, and more importantly, this weekend too.
Jack, with you, staying on the 2020 season for a moment, where's the Dally M medal?
No, it's actually just in a little box sitting up in the cupboard at the minute. I've got to try and get something. I just moved houses, mate. But there's shit everywhere, so I've got to try and get something made up for it and put it up in a little something.
All right, but by comparison, then, where's the Clive Churchill medal?
Sitting right next to it. Yeah, I know. I've had a few people ask me this, and it's the same answer. I need to sort it.
Hey, Saturday night, okay, that's enough for 2020. Let's get that out of the way. Saturday night, you're playing a Maori team that's been rocked by players from Melbourne not being able to get up there. You guys are rocked somewhat by the Fox not being able to make it, but you're playing an understrength Maori team, which is always a danger, isn't it?
Oh, we had a chat about that, mate, and you look at the boys that come in and field it, and they're far from understrength. They're class all over the field, mate, so we're definitely not looking at it like that. And as you said, a team that goes for a little bit of adversity or, you know, something like this, they're always going to be more dangerous. So we'll come out firing and have to be on the game, mate.
Hey, Jack, this in the recent weeks we've seen incidents, off-field incidents affecting several clubs, including your own. Ricky came out and spoke about the punishment for Corey Harawira-Naera and Corey Horsburgh. You've had your own troubles in the past. You've matured and your football has gone to another level off the back of it. When you see those and when you see teammates being affected by these things, do you speak to them or do you have a view on what's happening with the clubs and the punishments they're handing down to the players at the moment?
Yeah, I try not to be too much of a hypocrite, mate, because especially the boys at our club, you know, they're good lads and you don't mean to muck up. And sometimes it comes wrong time, wrong place, or, you know, you make an error of judgment. So I try not to be a hypocrite, and everyone mucks up in life. It's what you do next, you know. So if you're going to keep mucking up, you're really going to pay for it. So, yeah.
Very well said. And I try to do that when I'm on this show as well. I try to be, you know, do a qualifier when I speak about off-field incidents and saying that I've been there and done it. And if you don't learn, well, you'll never learn. But and as Liam just said, the way you've came back from your adversity, it's been fantastic.
Hey, Jack, have you spoken to the big fella, Josh Papali, after his little boxing effort last weekend?
Yeah, mate, I had a few chats with him, and, you know, all the boys down there were really proud of him, you know. It looked like he was a little bit disappointed himself after the fight, so, but we've had a chat with him, and he's stoked, mate, and he's happy to get the first one out of the road, and I don't know, I don't think it'll be the last time we'll see the big fella in the ring.
What about you, Jack? If, let's say, 10 years from now, you're retired from the game, and a promoter, Matt Rose, comes knocking and says, Jack, we want you in the ring, who do you want to go toe-to-toe with?
He's my manager too, so it's a good chance to do it.
It won't be 10 years' time. It'll be 12 months' time.
Yeah, cool. Which have you got someone you'd like to step in there with, just for a bit of fun, a couple of quick two-minute rounds?
Oh, probably my 12-year-old brother.
Your 12-year-old brother.
I reckon he'd win that. Jack Whiten, we appreciate your time. Now go and get those medals sorted out. They can't just be sitting in a box on your shelf.
No. It's all a good time they're coming,
mate.
It's going to be somewhere special.
That's right, mate. That's right. That'll go right in your little man shed when you get that up and running.
That's what I'm sorting. All right, mate.
Excellent. Jack White, and best luck for Saturday night.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. MG's ladder predictions continue very shortly. 14th position coming up just before 7 o'clock, but it is Wednesday, which means we do...
Good to see you leading the way today. Wow, you are cutting on to this new segment, or not new segment, but this new way we've got it. Every time this music comes on, we just get it off.
Shirts off.
Shirts off, baby.
Shirts off for power rankings. It's a thing. Hashtag,
it's a bit
check it out.
Today too. Yeah.
MG, talk to us about your power rankings.
Okay, well, with the game this Saturday, the All-Star game, we've done the greatest Indigenous players of all time,
yes,
either last year or the year before, as far as part of our power rankings. But I thought today we would do the 5-1 Indigenous players in the NRL this season.
Oh, currently?
Currently. And I've based it on kind of you're as good as your last game type thing. So 2020 came into play a lot.
Okay, all right. So on form going into this season, the 5-1 best Indigenous players in the NRL.
Five.
A quick notable omission is David Fifita. He had that injury after three or four rounds, and he came back late in the season, but it wasn't himself. I'm interested to see. He could be number one if we do this again this same time next year. So, but number five is Katoni Staggs. Obviously, he suffered that unbelievably shocking ACL injury towards the end of the season, and he was the heart and soul of the Broncos. He was their basically kicker, catcher, everything, punter. If he was an NFL team, he'd be called Staggs. The only time they looked like scoring a try, the Broncos, was when the ball was in the hands of Katoni Staggs. Mm. So they'll miss him. He's out until about around 11 or 12 this year, so they've got to try and find someone, obviously why they've signed Copley and Mead from other clubs. So Katoni Staggs, number five.
Sure.
Latrell Mitchell, on his day, the best. I think we'll all agree on that. But after suffering that shocking hamstring injury last year, you don't know how he's going to come back from that. I think he's going to come back fantastically, but I just can't wait to see him hovering around that back line as far as coming off Reynolds and Walker this year. And with Jairo as an addition, I think that's just kind of the missing puzzle for South. So, yeah, Latrell Mitchell, let's see him. This Saturday night, it's going to be good to see him because Laurie Daly has come out in the press and said he's going to give him an open slather. He can do what he wants. So let's see what Latrell's got.
Can't wait to see Latrell on Saturday night. All right.
Three.
The Fox, Josh Adokar. one of the most dangerous and flamboyant wingers we have in the competition, if not the best. I think he probably is the best winger we've got, the best finisher, the most deadly when he gets the ball in his hands from an intercept, just shut the gate. It's going to be interesting to see where he plays at the Bulldogs for the next few seasons after this one, because he stated openly that he wants to be a fullback. I love him on the wing. I think that he can get big money on the wing because he's such a potent weapon out there, but it remains to be seen how we go, but on last year's form, man, he was the best winger in the world.
We have arrived at the top two Indigenous players in the NRL right now.
Two.
Mr. Magic, Cody Walker.
Wow.
But Cody Walker came of age last year. He got himself back into the Origin team, and he's the incumbent, so it's his spot to lose. You know, he's got the 5'8" of the year playing outside him in Origin at centre, so that tells a lot about how much the hierarchy at the New South Wales level hold him in regard. And I know that Wayne Bennett loves him dearly. So, yeah, look, Cody Walker on his day, unbelievable player, almost unstoppable when he wants to be.
All right.
One.
Just spoke about him, the reigning Dally M Player of the Year, and what a year he had in 2020, Jack Whiten. Just goes from strength to strength as Jack. He's kind of revolutionising the way that 5'8s play. He's gone back to the era of the Fittlers and the Laurie Dalys and the Wally Lewises to be these big ball-running 5'8s who have a presence that kind of is like a seventh forward on the field. And with his great left-foot kicking game, which he really worked on last year, he's developing into such a weapon that he could be the key that holds all the glory for the Canberra Raiders this season.
Well, there you have it. MG's 5-1 best Indigenous players in the NRL right now. At 5, it was Katoni Staggs of the Broncos. 4 was Latrell Mitchell from South Sydney. 3, Josh Adokar of the Melbourne Storm, soon to be Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. 2, Cody Walker, and the number one Indigenous player in the competition right now is that man, Jack Whiten, we spoke to earlier on in the show. All right, this is the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. Up next, strap yourselves in. MG is going to tell us which team finishes 14th in the NRL this year.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M, and we have arrived at rung 14.
The ladder.
Ladder.
MG's ladder.
Yeah, well, I've copped some abuse over the last couple of nights from Cowboys and Dragons fans, but now I suppose the abuse will come from north of the border again, because the Broncos I have coming in at 14th. I would have had them 16th again, because I look at their lineup and I'm not overly impressed with the Bronx. Their recruitment of Copley and Mead and Asiata, you know, basically three guys who have... I think Asiata might be a good find for them, maybe at lock forward. Yeah. But, you know, I suppose Copley and Mead are just there to fill holes with until Katoni Staggs gets back from that ACL injury. They have got a favourable draw, Liam. That helps them a lot. I think they've got a lot of Thursday night or Saturday night games in Brisbane. And there's a big emphasis this year on having them on TV a lot. So I think that's going to suit them, especially with crowds. If the crowds are back, that'll help them. That's probably one club that suffered last year of not having crowds. You know, Suncorp Stadium on a Friday or Saturday or Thursday night is compulsive viewing for most Brisbaneites, but they never got the chance to this year because of the COVID restrictions. So I think they paid dearly for that, the Broncos, and they felt it. But, I don't know. Kevy might take a while to find his feet, and I think they might finish down the bottom of the ladder, bottom four.
Can you predict a spine for me? Because, Anthony Milford, unbelievably at this stage of his career, is still a question mark as to where his best position is. We've seen reports over the offseason that he might be playing fullback. What do you think this Brisbane Broncos spine looks like come round one?
I think they'll start with Sarko at fullback. I think he'll start there and be probably their goal kicker. I think they'll start with Milford and Dearden in the halves, give them first crack at it. And obviously, now that McCulloch has gone, I think Turpin will be their number nine. Mm. He's an enterprising little number nine. You know, I expect a big year. I think last year Carrigan and Flegler kind of held the pack together, and they didn't get much help from any other forwards. I think this year, Payne Haas, once he gets back from the suspension, will be, you know, burning to get back on the field and prove his worth. And ditto that with Pangai Jr. For so long, he's been, you know, that player that could be produced maybe one or two games per year, but we see a glimpse of how good Tevita Pangai Jr. can be. But he needs to lift this year. He needs to be their man in the forward pack. I'd actually have him I'd have him playing front row forward if I was Kevy Walters. I think that's his spot.
I'm going to be really interested to see how friend of the show Kevy Walters goes. We know how emotional he is, just in general life, but also about the Broncos. You know, this is the bloke who, when he retired, declared that his dream job was to coach the Brisbane Broncos. And now he's finally getting it after, in some ways, being passed over in when they've had previous coaching changes. How hard is it going to be for him to, I guess, plan this season and plan the year and not let his emotions dictate week-to-week stuff too much? Because he's already had some run-ins with the media.
Yeah, and I hope he doesn't. I think that the beauty of Kev Walters, and I think that why he got this job, and we've seen the benefits already of him being appointed coach, all of a sudden the flock of ex-Broncos are flooding back to Red Hill. One notable is Gordon Tallis, and his presence around the forward pack is just immense. I think Kevy's emotion is what holds him above others. He wears it on his sleeve. He doesn't, you know, apologise for being emotional. He'll cry at a press conference. He'll shed a tear about talking about a player, and I love that in him. Mm. I don't want that to disappear. I think that's what makes him the beauty of Kevy Walters. And obviously he's going to have a better relationship with the media and not have such thin skin, because they're going to come for you. Ultimately, that's what his predecessor, Anthony Seibold, was shown the door about. He just couldn't handle the fishbowl that Brisbane is. Kevy Walters has got the advantage of being a player there for so long. He's got the advantage of being the Origin coach there for a few years and being successful. So it's a different beast, Kevy Walters as coach. I really like the appointment, and I think he'll do his best to get his team over the line each week. And I think that's what the players really, really need.
Yeah, it's a one-team town for now. And if it's up to Peter Vlandis, that won't last much longer. Brisbane Broncos to finish 14th tomorrow. MG will reveal which team he believes will finish 13th. Any clues, any hints?
Sydney Club.
We know it won't be the Dragons. Also, tomorrow on the show, Jason Saab going to join us in studio, which is very exciting.
Dragons. Yeah, the big guy. He looks like he's put on some great muscle over at Manly, and I expect him to be one of the real standout players of this year.
Rising star potential.
A rising star, and could be the one that got away from the Dragons.
He'll join us in studio tomorrow, and another chance to win your way to our golf day, MG.
As always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.